Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, everybody? Matt Aguilar here from comicbook.com, and welcome to The Pull List, where we talk all things comics all the time. I am with my regular, it's just us two, me and Kofi Outlaw, back talking comics. What's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Doing good, doing good. I am excited because we have as you've seen in the teases, we have a very special guest today. We will be talking a lot of comics, but we're going to lead things off because this week is a very special issue of Blue Beetle. And who better than to talk to about Blue Beetle and the tribute issue to Keith Giffen than the writer of Blue Beetle, Josh Trujillo. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for taking the time to join. I'm always excited to talk Blue Beetle. As Kofi will attest, he's heard me drone on about it for many, many a week.
He gets really excited. Yeah. He's loving it.
Very excited for this because this week the series it takes a little bit of a turn. This issue, specifically Blue Beetle number 7, is a tribute issue to the late Keith Giffen. And you assembled a all-star team to really kind of pay homage to so many of his creations, his, you know, famous locations, famous story arcs. So many things are packed in there, but also, for people who have been following the series and the Blood Scarab arc and everything, there's still things that move the story forward as well. So it feels like there was a little bit of a tightrope balancing act. I don't know. Did it feel that way?
Yeah, we're trying to do a lot of things, right? So it's like, we expect this to be a lot of people's first issue of Blue Beetle. It's a great jumping in point, but also we're trying to pay off everything that's been happening since our graduation day miniseries. And we want to pay tribute to Keith Giffen. So it is a delicate dance we've been doing. People have been really stoked about it though. So hopefully we did right by Keith. But honestly, just like, the army of artists we have: Natasha Bustos, Coley Hamner, Scott Collins, Howard Porter, and of course Adrian Gutierrez, our series artist. Like they knocked it out of the park. They make sure the storytelling is so clean and like accessible. So yeah, we're really happy with how it came together.
Yeah, and it ties in so well too, because you know, so many worked with him and had, you know, instrumental parts to play in Jaime's story along the way. And so it is a wonderful tribute. But I just love that it also you know, Adrian's work on the series has been just phenomenal to this point. And so I just love that we don't lose that. It feels like a Blue Beetle issue while also doing all these other things. So I just commend you on the issue so far. And what I also love is that you managed to fit in a just ridiculous amount of cameos. You know, we have obviously Lobo, Legion, Justice League International, Johnny DC. I did not see that coming. Nort.
I was
so happy to see Nort.
you got to pull from the back issues. He loved a deep cut. So we got to do right by Keith and spotlight his weirdest possible creations. Cause everyone knows like the big Legionnaires, but no one really talks about like Laurel Gand or, you know, whoever anymore. So it's the fun of it was like asking DC like, oh, can I use this character that hasn't been in continuity for 40 years? And they're like, whatever. And so here we are.
And it's also one of those things too. You even, you know, find a way to kind of, you know, in a fun tongue in cheek way, address, you know, Jaime's origin, in the, you know, magic and science of it all. And like, you know, yeah, keep it easy on the retcons. Right. But like, I love that you actually still do such a great job of succinctly establishing like what the origin is. And then, all right, let's move forward.
Oh yeah. I love Jaime. He's part magic, part science. Everyone's like, which one is he? When I do interviews about him, and I'm like, he's both. The answer is yes. He's all the things. And so, trying to make that a little more clear, I think, was some of the fun of doing it. And then we have Joni, who's like a perfect character to like be a foil to a character with a messy background.
Even poor Huntress catches a stray in this one.
Yeah. You know, between New 52 and Rebirth and everything, 5 years later, 1 year later, like we've all taken a little bit of battle damage. So we just got to streamline it a bit.
You know, it's one of my favorite moments of the issue is when, you know, Jaime is talking to his mom. I've always loved how the series has, you know, put family front and center, and that continues to be a part of the series to this point. But it's also, again, like, you know, it's a touch point for Jaime, but also, you know, I love that, like, you know, it also feeds into the dynamic between Kaji and Jaime, some of the issues they're having, asserting control here and that, you know, it's also feeding that. So it's like a really sweet moment, but it's also got some conflict and tension with it. You know, what can you tease about? We've obviously seen the Blood Scarab arc had a significant impact on their dynamic. What can you tease about kind of what's coming forward for them?
Yeah, going forward, you know, things between Kaji and Jaime have kind of, they've never been in a more delicate place, I think, than they are right now. Following the events of the Blood Scarab arc, you know, Kaji makes a big play and kind of exerts control over Jaime, and that has huge ramifications for the story, and it kind of leads into not just how it's going to affect Jaime and Kaji, but also Nativa, our Green Beetle especially, Dynastis, our Yellow Beetle, and the whole other cast. There's some scary things kind of looming overhead, and so, you know, we just got to put Jaime through the worst possible situation at all times. But hopefully they'll come together and be stronger than ever. But we'll see how we get there.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, that kind of tease towards the end there. You know, it's one of those things with the cast kind of growing and the supporting cast, like the supporting cast has played a huge role in this series. And we've seen, I love how the guest stars have been used. Starfire, I feel like, has been such a interesting and like unexpected addition to the series. And then of course, kind of the extension of the Beetle family. Will we kind of continue to see that moving forward and some other kind of DC guest stars, or is it going to shift to being more Jaime focused solely?
Yeah. So, you know, it's still Jaime. It's always going to be Jaime's book. And there's a big Jaime story we're doing in this next arc, this kind of pinnacle arc, we're calling it. And then from there, like, we're going to kind of really hone in on our supporting cast. You know, characters like Dinastus and Atila haven't gotten sidelined, but they've been more on the back burner during the Scarab War arc, and they're going to come to the forefront for these next few issues. And then, you know, I just love a big cast. So we're going to see a lot more of Victoria. We're going to see a lot more of Brenda in particular. She's had kind of a long simmering story arc that's going to come to the forefront very soon. And we have a new villain, a new antagonist for Jaime that's going to make his life miserable.
Ah, the best.
The classics.
Josh, just pulling out a little bit, Blue Beetle has gotten a lot more mainstream exposure in the last few years through things like the Young Justice animated series, which did like a whole Reach storyline, plus the live action Blue Beetle movie, which, you know, we were big fans of. We're always curious when we have comic creators on to kind of pick your brain. Did you see the live action Blue Beetle movie, and what did you think about it?
Yeah, no, I love the movie. I'm very biased, but obviously I love the movie. I thought it was so good. The cast really made it shine. And like, I feel like it was the kind of movie that I wish that I had when I was growing up. You know, it feels like a perfect kind of like slumber party, sleepover action movie. Jolo, the lead, is like incredible. Like, I was a little iffy about them aging up Jaime to kind of college age. But because I wanted to start with the teen and kind of build it up. But once I saw Cobra Kai, I was like, oh no, this guy absolutely has to play Jaime Reyes. Like, there's no way around it. So they're all great. And obviously we pull some elements from the movies into the book for the first time. The city he's in, Palmera City, is Jaime's new home. He's always going to have El Paso, but it's kind of like Palmera is kind of his metropolis and El Paso is kind of his Smallville. And we're also pulling Victoria Cord, who was played by Susan Sarandon in the movie. She's more of a very clean-cut villain in the movie, I want to say. But in our book, we do some weird things with her. And kind of, I think she's a very gray area where she stands right now.
Oh, I think Susan Sarandon pulled off sounding altruistic while being sociopathic pretty well. Like, I loved how she did that. We talked about that. Just to kind of pick your brain, you know, now that you're somebody who's cooking with so many Blue Beetle ideas, and this issue is an exhibition of how many ideas you can have surrounding Blue Beetle and put into play. We've heard from like James Gunn that Blue Beetle is still going to be a featured character in this new era of the DCU. Are there any particular ideas or kind of character elements that you'd personally be excited about seeing in this next era of kind of having Blue Beetle depicted on screen?
Yeah, I feel like we've all been watching these casting announcements like every day, right? And we're just like, whoa, like Metamorpho, Guy Gardner. So like, you can kind of see the pieces come together of like, I feel like they're building towards a Justice League International of some kind. And like, I'm so excited for that. I don't think any of us ever expected to see like the classic JLI on the big screen, but like with a booster show coming and Jaime sticking around, and like, I feel like that could happen. Like, that's the thing I'm looking forward to. And I know they're talking about a booster show, so like, they got to have Jaime be a part of that somehow. So I think the future is pretty bright for Jolo playing Blue Beetle in the future. It's just like, I just want it now, you know? These movies take so long to make.
Oh, man. Just want it now. We should just, like, DC, just want it now. We should get a t-shirt made with that because, yeah, so do I. You teased us always, you know, a lot of comic fans always get really excited to hear from creators about, you know, what's coming down the pike, and you've teased us a little bit. I always like to ask comic book creators, is there something coming up in, without spoilage, like in upcoming issues that you personally kind of like geek out or just like, I can't wait for people to see this scene, this development, or something along those lines?
Yeah, there's the cover for issue 10. It hasn't been solicited yet. It probably goes out in a couple weeks. It is like one of the most epic things. Adrian Gutierrez has killed for every single one of these covers, but this one like is really great. And you can see immediately certain fans will know exactly what we're doing when they see the cover. And so I'm kind of excited for the reaction to that. And then beyond that, we have kind of this action sequence at the end of 10 that is just really, really hard to draw. And I'm really sorry, Adrian. I'm sorry I put you through this, but it's going to look so cool. And so look forward to that. It is a big action set piece around a character that normally does not get action set pieces.
Ooh.
I love kind of pulling things out of surprising people like that.
And last question, is there anything you can tell us about the kind of ominous teases that Ted makes in telling Jaime kind of what's coming his way?
Yeah. When we meet Ted again, he's got some, he's seen alter space and time. So he's seen some stuff. And as for teases, you know, things go into a dark place pretty quickly in our next arc. And so that's definitely some of what Ted is teasing. But I think you also have to look to the DC universe ahead. There's a lot of big events coming up that I'm not saying we're a part of, but things aren't going great for the DC universe right now. Waller's in charge and everyone's living under her thumb. So Jaime's going to be needed for that fight, I'm sure, just like Team Beetle. So those are the big things and plenty more stories to come. And I'm thrilled to still be working on the character after all these years. It's been like 3 years now.
Yeah. And finally, I mean, that splash page of Ted showing back up was so kind of iconic and beautiful in this issue. Is there anything you can tease us for Ted Kord going forward?
Oh, man. We put him through the ringer, but it's almost time for his return to glory, right? So he'll have his big moment. Don't worry about that. It was a lot of fun to see Booster and Ted together again, even for just a few panels. I know that's something the fans have been asking for from the very beginning, but it's like, oh, we do the time travel Ted Kord thing so much. Like, let's give Jaime, it's Jaime's book, but this was the perfect opportunity to fold in Booster, give the fans a little bit of what they've been asking for, and also, you know, pay tribute to Keith Giffen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think that does it for us. Josh Rulio, thank you so much for joining us on Comic Book Nation's The Pull List. You guys, if you guys are not reading Blue Beetle, we are 7 issues in and things have been exciting, iconic, and there are big teases for what's coming down the pike in the future, as well as Josh giving us some pretty sweet teases of how Jaime and his story and his conflicts will fold in to the larger story of what's going on in DC comic books right now, and kind of what, you know, do we call it the Wallerverse? I don't know if that's official. So nothing. I know DC does not need any more unofficial names for things, but be sure to check out Blue Beetle when it comes out monthly. Thank you, Josh, for stopping by again and taking the time to discuss with us.
No, of course. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you guys for checking out the book.
All right. Have a good rest of the day.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork.
You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit HelloAlma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's HelloAlma.com/therapy60.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So let's move into the next book here. We're going to move into Ultimate X-Men, number one. Kofi, what did you think of this? We've been very high on Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate Black Panther. What did you think of this particular issue?
All right. So in the interest of time and possible technological snafus, I'm going to try to wrap two things in once and talk about Ultimate X-Men and say there are two books we read this week. There was Ultimate X-Men and there was The Last Mermaid. And I think one of those books really showcased what you can do as a first issue with minimal dialogue, minimal characters, and to make things instantly compelling and instantly gripping and intriguing. But unfortunately, that book was not Ultimate X-Men. I think that this book is, so far, it is the weaker of the Ultimate books that we've gotten. And I don't want to kind of beat up on it because it's beautifully drawn and I like the different flavor that we're going with for this kind of take on X-Men, but it's not very much of an X-Men book, or it doesn't hook me into any kind of lore, larger universe, or intrigue that made me go, okay, I should definitely be hooked into this book. Peach Momoko is you know, really talented storyteller. The character sketches, the kind of setup for that, the world of this girl at this, you know, Japanese school, is none of that is poorly done. But like I said, I think when you call something Ultimate X-Men, you're setting certain expectations, certain kinds of obvious franchise foundation. And I don't think this book feels like that. Like, I think this book would have been more interesting as just a book rather than an X-Men book. But that's just me. And again, with something that used kind of more minimal approach and artwork, The Last Mermaid did a far better storytelling job overall, I think. And there was just such a, and I think reading these two books in the same week had an extra added effect on me. It's still
okay. So I, yeah. So I can, I gotta say that I think for Ultimate X-Men, I love the concept actually, and I think it's beautiful, but I agree with you that it doesn't make as much of an impact as The Last Mermaid. The Last Mermaid is just, I was just kind of floored by how taken I was by that issue, and what a, it's beautiful. It's there's not, you know, that much dialogue, but I immediately care about the two lead characters in it. And one, yes, is an adorable little creature. So I know it's going to be right up my alley. But yeah, the I just think it was stunning first issue, and I am in on this. And it's really just about, you know, two characters trying to survive, right? And trying to find water. But it made such an impact on me. So I think it's more about, for me anyway, the success of The Last Mermaid as opposed to like what Ultimate X-Men didn't do. But I also agree with you. I think it's the weakest of the three Ultimate books. So that's kind of where I leave there. I know you had a chance to read Batman. I didn't actually get to this week, which I'm kicking myself. But what did you think of that?
Okay, so we're going to shift over to Batman. Are we the First Night are we talking about, or Dark Prisons? I think since we pulled up the First Night, I read that. Let's get into it anyway, since it'll be easier to kind of just do it this way. So I read Batman, Bat-Man, First Night, Dan Jurgens. And, you know, they've been a lot of Batman retro comics. Batman, like they tried to bring back Batman 89. They've taken Batman back to medieval times with Dark Knights of Steel. And this one being set in the weird time period between World War One and when World War Two is really just kicking off before America's fully in it. I was like, okay, at the outset. And I started reading it and I realized how long it was. And I was like, damn it, Matt, why are you doing this to me? But it you know, shout out to Dan Jurgens, who friend of the show and who's been on Comic Book Nation. But like, yeah, he really absorbs you into this world. And Batman in kind of that post-Roaring 20s, Great Depression era, kind of early movie era that you know from the 1920s, 1930s, it really began to grow on me. And by the time I finished this issue, I was like, damn it, Jurgens, you got me. I'm in. Like, I'm into this version of Batman. I'm into this world. I like the costume with its Adam Westy kind of feel to it. I liked a lot of the scenes and a lot of the world creation for that early 20th century American city, from just the way the signs are stacked together in New York to the classic cabs and whatnot and cars, to just the personas of who Jim Gordon is, who Bruce Wayne is, who some of these kind of villains and the cops and all of this, and a lot of kind of feeling of early Batman comics, the ones we don't know about anymore. And from the 1930s and 40s before we really settled into the more, you know, super friend Batman that we know. And so this being a case, a kind of detective noir story, really worked for me. And Dan Jurgens doing this kind of work really surprised me, because, you know, I don't see Jurgens getting that dirty that often. I'm used to the bright Superman, you know.
For sure. Yeah, I gotta say, I agree wholeheartedly with you. I didn't think I would be as taken with the concept, because we've seen Batman done in different time frames and different parts of history, you know, so it's not like a completely foreign concept. But the fact that they get so specific and they hone in on this specific era and also this first iteration of Batman, I think it really works. Mike Perkins' art is just stunning. And also, you know, while all this other stuff is going on and this Gotham is more downtrodden, you're getting this version of the costume that, you know, is, you know, compared to like modern suits and things, is looked at as, you know, just kind of probably old fashioned, you know, traditional, and they make it work. Like, he makes this Batman look as deadly and as much of a badass, you know, sporting like purplish gloves, right? Like, he still looks as cool as he does now. So I think it's a credit to them what they've done.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I know you also had a chance to check out Weapon X-Men number one. We talked about that, like, kind of behind the scenes plot. What did you think?
First, I just would end by saying my only criticism of Batman First Night would be that some of the old timey speak and dialogue gets a little corny sometimes. But in terms of moving on and Weapon X-Men was another one where I was like, okay, here's a concept that we're going to get into. That seems like it could be cheesy on the surface with the whole kind of collection of Wolverines from different realities. But this book worked for me because what sells it is the team dynamic. And again, out of nowhere, I didn't think this team would turn out to be as fun. You know, we've seen so many different versions of Logan from, you know, different story arcs, from Age of Apocalypse to Old Man Logan to old Marvel Zombies. But when you brought this specific set of characters together, hearing Wolverine have conversations and arguments with himself is so satisfying that it's more satisfying than it ever had a right to be. So I was really, really impressed by how I could basically just, I didn't care the larger mission they were on. I could just watch this team try to do stuff together. And by the end, each of the characters from Fat Wolverine to Jane, you know, to what's her name? Jane Howlett. Yeah. Earth X Wolverine, the fat one, Old Man Logan, Zombie Wolverine, and Jane. Each of them were great characters by the end. And I was like totally invested in this team. And I don't know if I can go without a team of Wolverines now, even if you keep it rotating, because it is just, like I said, more entertaining than it ever has a right to be.
Well, speaking of teams, I will say that Ranger Academy, I've talked about this issue, the series before, but man, it's just fantastic. They're doing so much great character work here. The cast, the supporting characters that are kind of surrounding the main plot are becoming more and more fleshed out. And there's a group of characters here that I just want to see in everything. And I hope, you know, that we've seen a lot of crossover between the Power Rangers comics and the broader universe over the past few years, right? TV, we've seen them kind of crossover in the games and all kinds of things. I hope we see that for Ranger Academy's cast, because it is just delightful. If you are a Power Rangers fan and you're not reading this book, I don't know why, because it's it's so good. But even if you're not a Power Rangers fan, I think there's so much to love here. And then you'll get introduced to all that stuff and find out why I'm a huge dork for it. So, you know, maybe you should read this. Kofi, I know we wanted to touch on the core Batman book. I did not have a chance to read this, but I know you did. You want to take us out with that?
Absolutely. Taking us out this week with Batman 140 something. I forget exactly what 140 issue it is, but it is Dark Prisons, which kind of brings us out of the whole Joker year one storyline, which was At the end of the previous arc, Batman and Joker were locked up in prison cell together by the Batman of Zur-En-Arr, who's now in an android body of failsafe. And this all sounds crazy when I'm saying it out loud. But then Joker told Batman the story of his first year and how Batman's old mentor, Daniel, trained him to train his mind to become the ultimate chaos agent and all of this. And so in this issue, we get back to the present action with Batman and Joker being in a prison cell. And it's Batman 145 being in a prison cell together and having to basically like figure out their way out of jail together. And so, again, you know, people have been kind of half and half on the Chip Zdarsky Batman run in its arc and kind of saying there's a mix of bad and good elements. And I agree with that, and that it can kind of continues in Batman 145. But Chip has built this entire larger Batman universe arc from the mentors we met in The Night to everything that's happened with Joker and Bruce Wayne in the last few years to make this a very interesting and kind of exciting team up, and to see how the Batman of Zur-En-Arr isn't just a straight up maniacal villain, but is this kind of version of Batman that, like, as we've teased, some fans say they've wanted to see. It's a very interesting thing. And we get some kind of interesting twists about what's happened to Daniel, how Joker's proceeding. And so I'm kind of interested to see if this is a culmination and Chip lands the plane, but another kind of interesting set of twists in this issue. And obviously, if you're not reading Batman, there's going to be a hard place to jump in, but go back and read some more of the Chip Zdarsky Batman run, because one day I think it'll be in an omnibus and you'll be able to enjoy it then. All right, that'll do it for this episode of The Pull List. I think, if anything, our takeaways from the week, while Matt is still figuring out this technical trouble, is that you guys should be reading Blue Beetle. We also kind of told you that this book, The Last Mermaid, that Image put out, is freaking fantastic. Go check that out. It's an issue where you just basically get a first issue that I think stands up there with a lot of first issues that we would recommend in terms of getting you sucked into a series and the world. Derek Kirk Kim, fantastic work on The Last Mermaid, and I am already hooked on that. So I think that's probably our biggest recommendation of the week. And yeah, Ultimate X-Men, kind of a mixed bag, kind of a weird start. Don't know where that's going, but have hope. And Weapon X-Men and Batman First Night are two books we were both pleasantly surprised to find that we enjoyed way more than we thought we were. So that'll do it for The Pull List. I think I've said everything that Matt would say and conveyed his agenda fairly well. I would just say, to take us out on a Matt note, all right, everybody, go out and buy some comics and enjoy. And don't forget that Power Ranger comic too, because I always got to talk about that. This is The Pull List. I'm not Matthew Aguilar, but we'll see you out there. Peace.